If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. So about 8 months ago, or thereabouts, I bought, well, I say I, Neil did, because he has an Amazon account and I don't. Neil bought me an egg cooker. I'd been wanting this egg cooker for quite a while. Heard some good things about it, hadn't I?
Yeah.
So, you know, you got it for me. I was like, oh, look at this.
Salter.
Salter. I was about to say earth shaker. Salt of the earth was clearly in my mind. No, so Neil bought me this egg cooker, delighted with myself. You know, cook all the eggs I want.
Mm.
Well, six at a time anyway. And it comes with a little cup so you can do a little poached egg in it.
Yeah.
I was, you know, living my best life. But in typical Neil fashion, he saw it and thought, no, I have to one up her now. I have to get a better egg cooker. And he did. It arrived this week. There's just one little issue with it. It's German. He's bought the German model.
Yeah.
So it's got the wrong plug on it for us, and it also has like a voice thing. Like when your egg is cooked, it actually has like a verbal notification.
Yeah.
And that's in German.
Yeah.
So we've got a German egg cooker. It works. It is a considerably better one than the one I had, but it is in German. And again, we had to also buy an adapter. For said egg cooker.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
So it isn't about one-upping you.
It is a bit.
I could never get a good soft-boiled egg from yours.
Yes.
It was either the yolk was rock hard or the white was like snot.
And I do admit that. It had its faults.
Yeah. And with the poached bit, like what I'm thinking of trying to do is get your little poached egg container and put it in the new one. And then see what it's like at medium.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't be mixing and matching, Neil.
Oh, I can. Mm. And so it wasn't about one-upping. It was just I wanted a soft-boiled egg.
No.
For me, egg and soldiers.
It wasn't about that, really. It was partially about one-upping me. But I tell you what made you want to one-up me so desperately.
Paul Scholes. Yeah.
Paul Scholes has this egg cooker and he's been recommending it, apparently.
Yeah.
When it arrived, I was like, we have an egg cooker. You don't need a new one. And he went, Paul Scholes recommends this egg cooker. And I was like, what the fuck has that got to do with it?
For Americans, Paul Scholes, he is a retired footballer who was on a podcast with Paddy from Max and Paddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other fella.
Yeah, I don't know him. I'm not big into football.
I've never listened to the podcast. You've just shown me clips here and there.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the podcast. I've only seen the clips. It wasn't because Paul Scholes recommended.
Are you sure it wasn't because Paul Scholes recommended it?
No. It was because he talked about it. They took the piss out of him, saying you can't steam an egg or something.
No, he kept saying I was having a boiled egg, wasn't it?
That was it. And they went, it's not boiled, it's steamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
The splitting hairs, really.
So they were like, right, we'll put it to the test. The other guy was like, I'm going to get an hot plate and a pan and boil the water and I'm going to boil an egg the proper way. And my egg is going to be better than the egg from your egg cooker. So he brought his egg cooker in and his egg was better than your man's. So I was like, right, that's it.
If it's good enough for Paul Scholes, it's good enough for you.
Yeah. Now, it does have a couple of little kinks, you know, because like yours, it does up to six.
Yeah.
I put three in it. The day I got my adapter,
yeah,
I put three in it and I got my marker pen and I put an S on one for soft, M on one for medium.
I saw that. I saw the shells in the bin that you would wrote on with a Sharpie or something.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. And then I put H for hard.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah. Just in case you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to keep up.
You're keeping up? Right.
Mm, yeah.
And then, so when it said soft boiled in German, I took the soft one out.
Well, no, you're assuming that's what it said in German. We don't know. We can't verify that.
Right. So then I took that out and fucking did the bit and then the medium one and I left them in the bowl so you could see the difference. And I said to you, I went, the medium one actually looks better than the soft.
Yeah.
Then I cooked off two for me and two for you and I put them at and I took them out at medium.
Yeah.
Now they were snotty to fuck.
Yeah, they were.
You were like eating a bogey.
Snot.
Well, yeah, snot. And then tonight, I thought, oh, do you know what? I'd love fucking egg on my burger.
Yeah.
I'm going to put one in and I'm going to take it out at medium. And it were hard. Hard boiled. So I need to figure out the kinks of the quantity to the timing.
Right. Why don't you message Paul Scholes and see if he has any tips and tricks?
Because he's
more experienced with this particular egg cooker.
Am I?
Now, I don't know if he's the German one is the problem.
No, his is in English.
Okay. See, when Neil was cooking them earlier and it started yapping to me in German, we have a friend who's literally just come back from Germany. And I said, get her on the phone.
Yeah.
See if she can fucking translate it because we're lost here.
Well, no, it's easy to follow. You don't have to know German. The first time it speaks, you know it's saying soft.
But I would like to know what she's saying to me, the egg cooker lady, you know?
Well,
this is how I'm going to learn German. I'm just going to get all German appliances that have like a voice command on them.
See, it'd have been in English if I'd have got the white one.
Yeah.
But I went for the black one.
Yeah.
So it matches our...
aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the black one's German. That, no. Stop, because you're making me laugh. You're making it sound like I'm saying something else.
I was going to make a joke about semi when you said soft and medium.
Oh.
When you said...
I thought you were laughing at the black.
No, I mean, I was because of your face. You looked horrified. But I was just saying I've already avoided one. I already swerved that. When you said soft and you went medium, I was going to say semi even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you said something like the medium looks better than the soft.
Yeah.
And I was going to say semi even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So is that your rant over?
Well, no, I mean, I don't understand why you had to try and one-up me, really.
It's not about one-upping
I mean,
you.
It is a bit. We had an egg cooker. It was fine.
Have I thrown out your egg cooker?
No, but I'm obviously going to get rid of it now.
Why?
Because we have an egg cooker. We have a new one. I'm not going to keep my one just because, fuck you, I'm going to use my own one.
I'll use mine, you use yours.
No, but that's ridiculous.
No, because I don't like what you're saying that I only did it to one-up you. I did it because I want my egg and soldiers.
How much did yours cost?
25 quid.
How much did mine cost? It was like 15, was it?
18.
18.
Yeah, but then I had to buy an adapter, which was a tenner.
Yeah.
But mine is better.
No, it is a better.
Sort of.
It is a good egg cooker. It is. It's more fancy looking.
Yeah.
And I think it does have a bit, you know, you do have a bit more control over how you like your egg.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, you know, so far in life, Paul Scholes has never steered me wrong. You know? So I'm optimistic, Neil.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it bothers me a bit because this is something I always get annoyed at you for. It's always over, you know, consumption with you. You always have to buy something new just because you want something new. There was nothing actually wrong with the egg cooker. We could have used that until it was fucked and then got a new one, replaced it when we needed
to. No, I wanted my egg and soldiers. That's why I wanted the egg cooker in the first place.
Right.
And I've never been able to get egg and... Oh, I did it once. And it were like eating snot.
Yeah.
And I was like, never again.
Never again.
No. I hate that texture in my mouth. I can't be doing with it.
I don't think anyone likes uncooked egg white, though.
Mm.
Like the ones you served me this morning.
Yeah.
They were fucked.
Yeah.
You didn't know what you were doing with your new German egg cooker.
Well, no, I'm still like...
Working out the kinks.
Yeah.
But you already tested them with your Sharpie eggs.
Yeah, they were perfect.
Well, the ones this morning were not up to scratch.
Mm. So, what have you got for us today?
Today, Neil, we are going to be talking about the survival of Jennifer Morey.
Okay. We haven't done a survival for a while.
No, we haven't. It's been a while. You kept...
Morgan Metzer. She survived.
She did.
But he weren't trying to kill her.
Well, it wasn't great what he did.
It's not really survival, is it? Is it?
Of course it is. She survived an attack.
Yeah.
Now, you were questioning me earlier about what we're covering today.
Yeah.
And I have mentioned, you're getting earlier and earlier in the episodes when you're interjecting or guessing things. Now it's gone to the point of it's actually before the episode even starts. You're asking me what the case is. I told you you have to wait.
Yeah, no, I weren't asking you to tell me about the case. It was literally, what's it about? Like, is it a murder? Is it a sexual assault? You know, or something like that. And you went, I'm not telling you.
No.
And I went, well, is it English? Because for some reason you like to keep going to Mother Russia and Japan.
We cover cases from all over the world.
Yeah.
We're over 150 episodes in now. I thought the penny would have dropped by now.
Yeah.
Has that only happened today, has it? Like the most recent release we have on Patreon, right?
Hmm.
It's a mini episode that I have done. And the first line in the episode is the date. I couldn't finish the date before Neil interrupted me.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what you said to me.
I thought you were covering Shannon Matthews.
That's what it was, yes. Without the date, you immediately thought, you just had the area.
Yeah.
And you jumped the gun.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right, my lips are sealed. What's the name of this one again?
The Survival of Jennifer Morey.
Jennifer Morey. Right, tell me about Jennifer.
In 1995... Jennifer Morey was 25 years old and working as a lawyer.
Around, that's when you were born.
Around this time, Jennifer was relocating to Houston, Texas. But prior to her making the move, she spent a weekend there to scout out a few apartments in the area. And a priority for Jennifer was safety and security. I'm sure this is something we would all prefer, given the choice. But especially for Jennifer, as she lived on her own.
You wouldn't be able to do that now, would you?
Live on your own?
No.
I thought you meant like the cost. Yes, it is increasingly difficult to do so.
No, I'm thinking more, you wouldn't be able to go somewhere just for a weekend to find an apartment. You need a lot longer than that now. Do you not think?
Why?
There's not a lot on the market.
I mean, depending on where you're living, I suppose. Mm. Every time I look on Rightmove in, say, Sheffield,
yeah.
There's so many properties to choose from. You do that in Dublin and you're lucky if you can find someone's shed.
Oh, so what you're trying to say is people don't want to leave Dublin, but people can't wait to get out of Sheffield.
Possibly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that might be it. A lot of student accommodation in Sheffield as well, isn't there?
Yeah, because you've got a good uni.
You actually have to filter out of the searches because it interrupts you.
Like we've got one of the best unis.
Do you?
Sheffield Hallam. Better than that fucking Trinity. That Trinity's like fucking Hogwarts.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah.
The apartment complex she settled on was close to downtown, and her new home was on the second floor. At about 10 p.m. on the 15th of April, 1995, Jennifer receives a call from her friends. They tell her that they were heading out to the alehouse and asked if she would like to come with them. Jennifer decides to join them for a few drinks, and her friend soon arrives to pick her up. While out that night, Jennifer had a good time, and as the night came to a close, she accepts a lift from a man who drops her home at about 1 a.m. She then makes her way up to her apartment, puts the deadbolt on, washes her face, brushes her teeth, and heads to bed for the night.
Usually the order of events.
It was at about 4:45 a.m. when Jennifer was awoken. What had broken her sleep was the weight of a person's body pressing down onto hers.
No thanks.
This person was holding her body down while also grabbing onto her underwear and attempting to pull them down. In this moment, Jennifer doesn't really know what is going on. She's just woke up, it's dark, and she lives alone. She's feeling a mix of disorientation as well as fear.
Yeah, you don't think about that, do you? Like, even if, say, my alarm goes off for me to get up, sometimes it takes me a good minute or two to come round fully.
Yeah.
So, I think if it were me, I'd be like, well, you just give me a minute to at least make it even and put up a fight.
Right.
Like, you don't think about that.
No, it's a horrible thing. Even, you know, say if you're asleep and, you know, your dog barks or your cat jumps up onto your chest or something, that can startle you awake.
Yeah.
Never mind, like I said, you live alone and you're feeling the weight of a person.
Yeah.
Once the realization sets in that there's a person in your room and on top of you. So, like I said, she's disorientated, it's dark, she doesn't really know what's going on. But one detail that stuck with her was the feeling of his coarse leg hair pressed up against her legs.
Fucking hell. The thing I really don't like about this sort of thing is if you go out and you get attacked, you've still got your home to go back to.
Yes.
And you can just
that
keep
sense
yourself
of security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't understand how that would feel. It happened in your home.
Yeah.
Where do you go to feel safe?
Mm. Well, I mean, that's why home invasions are so terrifying. They are taking away that one, you know, what should be your sacred place. As Jennifer raises her hand to her face, she feels a blade pressed to her throat. This is the moment where Jennifer realizes, oh my God, this man is about to sexually assault me. Now, I know this may sound like an odd thing to say, but in moments like this, there is that realization that, you know, this is actually happening. You know, what am I going to do? Do I try to remain calm to minimize further aggression and possible injury, or do I fight with all of my might?
I think it'd always be fight. I know me and you have had this discussion plenty of times.
Mm-hmm. And I think you and I kind of, you know, again, it's you don't necessarily know until you're in that situation. And, you know, if it's, you know, different occurrences, it could be different from one to the next, depending on the situation. Generally speaking, you're someone who's quicker to kind of stand up and fight, whereas I'm kind of quicker to try and minimize damage.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I would say.
There is another thing you could do. It could pay off. Act psychotic or something, or shit yourself. Try and gross him out.
You try and like outdo the attacker in the shock factor kind of thing.
Yeah.
You would want to shock them into not knowing what is happening. You're turn the table on them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you not think that's a good tactic?
I mean, look, I've always kind of had the, you know, thing in my head, no one wants to tackle the naked guy. And I don't think anyone wants to tackle the shit up person either.
Yeah.
So I take your point, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what Jennifer decided to do. Jennifer began to scream. She pleaded with the man not to hurt her, all while attempting to push the knife away from her, kicking and moving her body however she can as to not allow this attacker to hurt her. But as soon as Jennifer raises her hand to stop the man, he became enraged. As Jennifer said herself, quote, "Once I enraged him, the fight was on. It wasn't going to stop until one of us had won and one of us had lost." Jennifer did succeed in stopping the attacker from continuing his sexual assault. But as we just said, the attacker had become enraged by her attempts to defend herself. Jennifer was then struck to her right eye. She described the injury caused to her as feeling like an explosion of blood, a hot waterfall just pouring out. With everything happening so quickly, at first she thought he had cut out her eye, but soon realised that the damage was caused by slashes of the blade to her face. The laceration ran from above her eyebrow, across the corner of her eye, and the bridge of her nose. There was also a deep slice on her cheek, running down to and nicking a jugular vein, just millimetres from severing this vein.
Fucking hell.
He had essentially slashed Jennifer's face open, as well as a stab to her throat and two deep stab wounds to her arm. Jennifer recalled how she felt during this moment, quote, "I have to get him off of me. I have to stop this. I cannot be raped and I cannot be killed." Now remember, while all of this is happening, it's dark. She can't even see who this man is. All she can make out is his silhouette and that he had short hair. At this point, it's almost a blur. It's just her, this man, and the knife being flailed through the air. Jennifer is screaming so loud that about 20 people who lived across 15 units had woken up to her screams, but not one of them called the police.
What?
Yep.
What the fuck? Did anyone at least go to the apartment?
Nope. No.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Were they all like pensioners or something?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't a retirement home, as far as I'm aware, if that's what you're asking.
That's crazy.
Well, I think, you know, because you're saying, did they at least go to her home? I would say, did they at least call the police?
Well, you've already said they didn't.
No, no, what I'm saying is you can understand someone not wanting to put themselves potentially in danger.
Hmm.
But you call emergency services for fuck's sake, lads. Yeah. Now, although no one in the complex attempted to seek help, that did not stop the attacker from panicking. And he tells her to shut up. Jennifer, shut up. The man knows her name. So she begins to think, who is this? Who is this man? She couldn't recognize the voice, but she begins to feel a confidence that maybe she can get this man to cease the attack. She said that she felt she had the power of persuasion, the power of her strength, the power of her struggle, whatever it took. She was going to use what she needed to end this.
Can I make a guess? The perpetrator?
Go on.
The bloke who dropped her off.
It's not looking good for him, is it?
I think he dropped her off and then he watched until the lights went out. So he knew she'd brushed her teeth and brushed her hair and that.
And washed her face.
And washed her face.
Very important. Always wash your face.
I think he sat there, watched the light go out, and then give it like 10-15 minutes. And be like, right, she's, oh no, you said, what time did you say?
1 a.m. She was dropped home.
And this was about 4?
Quarter to 5, yeah.
Oh, so he sat there a while. Weirdo.
I mean, I think the whole thing is weird. You know? Well, is it out the realm of possibility that you're going to stalk the place out a bit?
Well, you didn't even have a smartphone back then.
No.
So what would you do?
Listen to
fucking radio.
Well, radio was more enjoyable a few years ago and you didn't have everything at your fucking fingertips.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Late night kind of like chat, like call-in show.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some right goss on them. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, we're getting a bit carried away with ourselves. As the man is positioned on top of Jennifer with his knife to her, he slits across her throat. At this point, realization sets in for Jennifer that she might actually die as a result of this home invasion.
Only now?
Yes, because Jennifer's thinking, I can do this. I can. She's already gotten to discontinue the sexual assault.
Right.
You know what I mean? She woke up to him attempting to... Well, I mean, look, I mean, you could argue he was already sexually assaulting her.
Yeah.
But she stopped it from going any further.
Mm.
You know, that's what Jennifer... Like, I stopped it.
Yeah.
And she did. She got him to stop. So she gained that little bit of confidence that I can do this. And then when something... When someone can do that, so like the swipe of a blade, you suddenly realize that, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
And this person is willing to do it. Her attacker was telling her not to look at him. She said that as much as she wanted to look at him and gather the evidence she needed against him, there was no way she was going to do anything that could possibly aggravate, irritate, or upset him further. And so she decided to reassure him that she would not look at him, and she didn't. He then drags Jennifer across the room and tells her to get into the bathroom. She goes into the bathroom and closes the door. But as the door did not have a lock on it, and Jennifer was not strong enough to hold the door closed with her body weight, she slumps down onto the floor and places her back against the door, presses her feet up against the bathtub, and holds as hard as she can. She's focusing so hard on maintaining this position to ensure her safety, and all she can hear during this is the attacker moving around her apartment. She can hear him moving items, grabbing different things. And then she hears the sound of him zipping up his trousers. Jennifer is just playing a waiting game, all while she is bleeding out.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You can't imagine. You know what I mean? Until you're ever in a remotely similar situation.
Yeah.
You know? So what is she to do, Neil? She's essentially trapped in the bathroom, blood pouring out of her face and neck.
Shot out a window.
Well, like I said, the blood is pouring out of her neck, so she grabs the toilet roll from its holder and presses it to her neck and just waits.
Oh yeah, do that first, yeah. And then shot. Well, I wouldn't use toilet roll. I'd stick to it. I'd use a towel.
Would you, yeah?
Or a flannel.
Maybe they were in the wash. You know?
Shower curtain.
Well, that's... If any, the blood's going to kind of resist that.
You just know? Think toilet roll, it'd just soak through.
I mean, it would, but I'm guessing she's thinking of the level of padding. I can just press that. You know what I mean? There's multiple layers of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, she's pressed the roll against the neck.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because do you know, like when you cut your finger, when you get a nick on your finger?
Yeah.
And if you use toilet roll, or kitchen roll actually, but
yes, and it sticks into the cut. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's a bugger that
it is.
But yeah. So yeah, it's good she did that. Then shot out a window.
I don't know if
actually,
a bathroom.
No, there's no point because the fucking neighbors are useless.
They are useless tossers, and I don't know if she had a window in her bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Also, the attacker is going to hear her shout out the window. There's no lock on the door.
Yeah, but if you do that before he zips his trousers up.
Hopefully his trousers fall down and he falls over.
Yeah, he runs panicking like, shit, she's shouting for fucking neighbours now. And then he runs down the stairs and trips over his own trousers.
The thing is, Neil, that's quite a scenario to hopefully happen to the man.
Yeah, but best case scenario.
Yeah, but it's probably not. None of this is the best case scenario, Jeremy. So what's the likelihood of her getting that lucky that he, you know, his trousers fall down, he falls over, hits his head, knocked out? Do you know what I'm saying? I think your hopes are a bit high. You're a bit of a dreamer. Do you know what I mean? Do you know, if that doesn't perfectly illustrate how different you and I are, I don't know what fucking does.
What would you do?
I mean, I would like to think something similar to Jennifer. I would be in that bathroom. What the hell can I use? The last thing I want to do is try and anger this person more.
So you know, while she were in the bathroom,
yeah,
was he robbing her? Because she said I could hear him moving things
she
around.
She doesn't know. She can just hear all of the like these things happening.
Right.
You know? Now, eventually, Jennifer does decide to open the door. She didn't have many options at this point, but it did cross her mind. What if he's waiting quietly for her to exit the room? As she goes to open the door, she struggles. Her hands are covered in blood and they're just slipping straight off the door handle, and she'd also pressed so hard up against the door that it was now jammed shut.
Oh.
Yeah. So in this moment, Jennifer is just thinking, you know, I've done it. I've survived this attack. But now I'm going to bleed to death in the bathroom because I cannot get this fucking door open. Can you even imagine the level of, you know, frustration, fear, panic, whatever she was feeling in that moment? That's, I feel like you'd probably be a little bit delirious at that point. You know, you just end up laughing to yourself. It's like, I can't fucking believe this,
yeah.
You know? Regardless of what Jennifer was feeling in that moment, she kept trying and she did manage to get the door open.
Yeah, do you know what I'd have been saying if I was trying to open it and it wouldn't open? Like you said, you'd near enough be laughing. I'd be like, typical. Typical.
Yeah.
If the fucking shit's going to land, it's going to land on me.
Honestly, do you know, I always say that you kind of make yourself out to be the victim. Oh, you're so hard done by. If you were in that situation, in that moment, I'd let you have it, you know?
I'd be like, why me?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, how hard was she pressing on the door?
I mean, you've got to think, in that moment when it's literally, this is all I have, I need to do this.
You'd be good with it, wouldn't you? Because you do leg press now.
Very, very sturdy legs. Jennifer crawls out of the bathroom and calls out, hello, to which she receives no answer. She then goes to turn on the lights, but the power has been cut.
Who's she shouting hello to?
She doesn't know if there's someone still there. Neil, what?
So she's greeting him?
Neil, what would you do in the situation? What would you call out?
Nothing.
Hello, bastard? What?
No,
what?
Absolutely nothing. I would be trying to make my way to the kitchen to get a fucking knife as quietly as I fucking can.
Yeah.
And then trying to get to the door so I can get out and get attention, like, for someone to phone an ambulance.
Jennifer's just gone through one of the most traumatic things a person could ever go through, okay? She's also losing a lot of blood.
And she's still polite.
And you're criticizing her greetings.
Like, you imagine if she'd done all that, put all that, because you got to think, when you've lost a lot of blood,
yeah,
you've got fuck all energy.
Yeah.
And she's got the door open. You imagine she's gone through all that.
Yeah.
To then go, hello, and for him to go, the hiya. Fuck do you think you're doing? Get the fuck back in there. And then you're back to square one.
Yeah. But again, the power's been cut, yeah?
Yeah.
She then tries the phone, but the phone line had also been cut. So Jennifer doesn't have a lot of options here, Neil.
Mm.
I don't think like calling out hello is going to be the make or break in the situation. He has the upper hand.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So her choice of greeting or lack thereof, had she chosen that direction, I don't think it has a huge amount of bearing. Like, you know what I mean? He knows exactly where she's located. He could be watching from... Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, this could have gone a completely different way, though, just from her saying hello. She could have been like, hello? And he's like, the fuck do you think you're doing? Fucking, you're done there. I told you to stay in there.
No, we've been through that. You've already said that. But what I'm saying to you is, does it make a difference? Because if he's there, he's going to be... Like, to have the phone line, the power cut, he's done everything he can to have the upper hand on her, to stop her from getting help, to disorientate her further. So what I'm saying to you is, does the word hello really have that great of a bearing at that point?
I really think it does.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
What if she had said A up?
Nah, then.
Yeah.
Or she could have said, I didn't hear no bell. Oh, you won't get that reference. It's from Rocky V.
Yeah.
It basically means that I'm not giving up.
Yeah. Like a boxer doesn't hear the bell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So we clearly disagree there.
Yeah.
I get the point you're making, but I'm just saying, what do you do? What do you say? Do you not say anything? You don't know in that moment.
I don't know because I've never been in that situation.
Well, you seem to have a lot of opinions for someone who hasn't been in this exact situation. But anyway.
But I don't want to take it away from her.
Yeah.
She's so far, she's amazing.
Yeah.
The strength in her.
You've got to, I don't even want to downplay that thing because this is all so horrifying. You know, the power being cut and the phone lines cut, you know, it doesn't seem that abnormal of a home invasion, but can you imagine, like she said, I've survived this attack and now I'm trapped behind this door. She's also got over the hurdle of being trapped in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And how horrifying it is to be, you know, to that the premeditation, they've disorientated me further and not allowed me to make any contact after the fact. That is horrifying. Does the power in the phone lines cut not scare the shit out of you?
A little bit, because I don't like moving around in the dark.
No. No, you stop dead. If yeah. I was to turn the light off and just leave you, you freeze.
Yeah, you do it deliberately.
It's musical statues kind of thing.
I could be carrying a cup of tea to bed and she'll just switch the light off and I'm just stood there with this cup of tea.
I don't do it deliberate because I know you don't. I've done it like the odd time flicking off myself, but you haven't got far enough into the lit room.
You've done it where you switch the fucking light off. So I stand there with a cup of tea and me biscuit. And then you'll be like, hang on, stop panicking. I'm putting the telly on. And you got to wait for the menu to come up on the telly
I don't do it deliberately to freak you out. I wouldn't do that. Do you know, no, honestly.
You've done it way too many fucking times.
I haven't done it in a long time because of that. Because I know you just freeze.
Yeah. It's like, it's a bugger at work because one of the rooms I have to work in has an automatic light on it.
Yeah. And if you're too far away from it, you're trapped down the other end in pitch black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to walk down and there's boxes everywhere. So I'm constantly having to get my phone out to put the flashlight on.
Yeah.
But until I've got my phone out, my feet are planted. I'm not moving.
I've seen you mid-motion with a box in your hand when I've gone to trigger the sensor.
Yeah.
And you just, again, like musical statues kind of thing. Yeah.
So yeah, in that case, because she wouldn't have a flashlight on her phone.
No.
Well, if she had a phone, she'd have phoned cops from the bathroom. But... Oh, it's 95 though, isn't it? So, yeah. I'd be buggered.
Yeah, you'd be buggered, but it's not about you.
No.
Talk about Jennifer.
Yeah.
So, like we said, power cut, phone lines cut. What is she going to do? Well, Jennifer does manage to grab her mobile and phone 911. Now, like you've just said, obviously in 1995, it would have been more unusual to have a mobile phone. But Jennifer had been supplied one by her employer for ease of contact. And thank fuck they did.
Like I can't remember how early it was when my dad got one. I remember him getting his first mobile. It was a big fucking...
Yeah, the bricks.
Big black brick. Yeah. I think it were a Nokia, my dad's first one.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I think it was something like BT Internet. Or something like that. Oh, so she did have a mobile then?
Yeah. Before I even finished that line, I could tell Neil had checked out of what I was saying to talk about his dad's brick. I do want to mention a little sidebar here, though, yeah? So I'm going to go on a little tangent as well myself.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, Jennifer's employer had supplied this for her, and thank God they did. This was quite literally her lifeline.
Yeah.
But I do want to note, what are you laughing at?
You're laughing.
And you're making me laugh because your fucking face. Every time I call you out, you find it so funny.
No, I'm right. There is a bit more to my dad's phone.
Right, yeah. Did you get it? Get out your system because you're not even going to listen to anything else.
If you ask my dad, like the most ungrateful thing, no, not the most ungrateful. If you were to ask my dad about what happened to his first phone,
yeah,
he'll probably tell you about. So my dad had it for ages. You know, like if he got, say if he had got a phone on contract, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got that phone for a year. He would keep getting new phones every year and just give them to my brother. Never me. Give them to my brother. And he kept using this fucking brick for fucking ages. By the time he actually got a new phone for him to use, he asked me, he went, do you want to use this one?
The brick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, to do what? Prop me fucking door open. The fuck do I want that for? And I just like, it's funnier in the moment than me telling you.
Yeah.
But my dad's reaction.
You ungrateful little sod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, shove it up your ass then.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, what do you want me to do with that? Fucking prop my door open.
See, no, well, the thing is, right, I get it. It does sound ungrateful from his perspective. But the age we were,
yeah,
we saw technology advance so quickly that yeah. to us, a brick phone, that's fucking dark ages.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're talking, he was still using that. I would have probably had like a 3310 or something at that point. Maybe. I can't remember. I can't remember what my first one was. But I did have a 3310.
Right.
Solid phone.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've wasted everyone's time because
you were like, actually, like, I could feel your body vibrating, like waiting to get it out. Like you had to say it.
Yeah. No, like know? I said, it was funnier in the moment. Like if our listeners knew my dad, they'd be laughing their head off. Like his face and the tone in his voice, he was seething.
Yeah.
Because I was like taking
the piss. Well, he had no grateful son.
I was taking the piss out of his phone.
Yeah.
Like he loved
that
phone.
That was his pride and joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, you know, state-of-the-art technology, that was, that brick.
Mm.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hailey Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
So, right, my sidebar to do with the mobile phone thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, Jennifer's employer had supplied it for her for ease of contact.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that any job that requires you to be in contact with them outside of, you know, the obvious valid reasons, whether, you know, it's through calls, texts, emails, or requiring you to use their own app.
Yeah.
That company should be supplying staff with a mobile phone.
I'll go one further than that. When they say to you, oh, when you get into work, can you take a photo of this?
Yeah.
With what?
Supply them with a camera.
With what? Mine? Yeah. My phone? Fuck off.
I'm using up my storage.
Yeah.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
I think, do you know what it is? Where we are now, technology-wise, we're in like a weird middle ground. It's just assumed that everyone has a smartphone and that the employee should take on the responsibility of being reachable.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Neil, I'm sick of it.
Well, the bit what really fucking gets me, and this isn't just the current job we're in, it's multiple jobs I've had where they use WhatsApp and they make work groups, and it's like, that's not a work app.
That's what things like apps like Slack are for anyway.
Yeah.
Like why don't contact me like on my number?
Yeah.
We don't know. Not
DMing me on Instagram. Fuck off.
Do you know what really annoys me as well? People used to have work phones. When was the last time you heard someone say they're using their company phone? We've gone
well,
back a
step. Well,
we don't
know anyone that high up, do we?
There's plenty of jobs. If you work in sales, you could have a company phone.
Yeah.
We've gone back a step, lads, and it's a load of fucking bollocks.
Mm.
Sick of it.
Sound like me.
Right, well, anyway, Jennifer, she's got her mobile. She's on the line to 911, Neil.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worked up now.
Oh, I bet she is.
No, I am.
Oh.
I've gone off on a tangent.
Right.
And raised my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, the operator on the line was a man named Richard. And with all that Jennifer had just gone through and was still going through, she felt like Richard was the only safety that she had at that point. In that moment, he became her friend, someone she could trust. Jennifer had been on the phone to 911 for about 15 minutes when she heard a pounding on her front door. She informs the dispatcher that the police had arrived at her apartment. But the dispatcher, he tells her that he's got the Euston Fire and Police up on his screen tracking their arrival, and they've not yet reached her location. Jennifer calls out, and the knock at the door turns out to be the building security. But it's very easy to claim your security and put someone somewhat at ease with your presence.
And why all of a sudden are you there?
Exactly. This security also knew her name and tells her that if she opens the door, he'll show her his badge. The dispatcher tells her, quote, "Don't answer the door right now." He tells her, "If you do not know who this person is, do not open the door."
That's horrible. What's he done? Forgot his watch or something?
Well, this is the thing. This person knocking was also very insistent that she open the door so that they can help her. Why would you... Why are you insistent? Why is it, open the door and I'll show you my badge? Like, come on. Jennifer said that during this period, time was moving incredibly slow and she was basically just having to sit there while bleeding out, waiting for help to arrive. Then, finally, she hears multiple voices outside of her door. Voices who identify themselves as Euston Fire and Police, and the dispatcher confirms that they are on scene and she is now safe to exit her apartment.
Could you imagine the relief?
Yeah.
Knowing it's done.
It makes my heart jump thinking about her sat there on the phone to 911 and that pounding on the door.
Yeah.
That loud bang, it would rock you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder. Like, I know I made a joke saying, did he forget his watch or something? But I wonder if it was to come back and finish the job or if it was to come back because he's dropped something. He's realised that he's dropped, you know, like it could be his watch or something like that. And it's like, that's evidence. I'm fucked.
Yeah. But you would assume he's coming back to kill her because he'd already told her, don't look at me. So if she's going to open, unless he's instructing her to turn around, open the door, turn around, do not look.
Mm.
But this is someone trying to obscure their identity. So you would assume he doesn't care at this point.
Yeah, okay.
Jennifer opens the door and pretty much collapses onto the floor in the hallway. She then hears the police say that they have a security guard in the building who had also been injured. Jennifer begins to cry. It hadn't just been her who had gotten hurt. Had she just turned away someone who had also been a casualty of this attack?
Was it security who came and knocked on the door and she didn't let him in?
Yes.
And he got hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
As Jennifer was taken to the hospital to be treated for her injuries, police begin a search of her home. Within her apartment, they see that there had been quite a struggle. There was blood covering not just her bedding, but the walls and the ceilings as well. Items found within her home included a pair of underwear, a belt, a glove, a knife, and a Pinkerton security guard hat.
And is that the building?
The building security?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's stabbed in 10?
It was the security guard who was knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And the security guard was also her attacker.
This is just going in multiple directions. I'm...
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking mad.
So, yes, the security guard had been injured. So yes, he was the security guard at her door. Yes, he had been injured. But he had been injured during his attack on Jennifer.
Oh, like, okay, like his hand had slipped off the handle and gone.
Bear in mind, Jennifer did, you know, further into this attack, decide to draw back, not look at him, not kind of fight back as much. But initially she was kicking, moving her body, screaming out, doing what she could to fight back.
Yeah. Okay, well, to the guy who dropped her off at home, if you're listening, I apologize, but you were the prime suspect at that point.
It didn't sound great, did it? But, you know, with this, police took the security guard who was on scene in for questioning. While in the police station, they asked the security guard to remove his shoes, which were cowboy boots, by the way.
Okay.
It is Texas, you know?
Yeah.
Now, once he removes his shoes, they see that his white socks were splattered with blood.
Her blood?
Well, I would assume so, yes. Possibly some of his.
Well, yeah.
They continue with a strip search, and they see that he also has blood on his torso. He removes his trousers, and they find that he is not wearing any underwear. Now, I'm getting major Sutcliffe flashbacks here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they found underwear in the apartment. Here's his knickers.
So this guy isn't wearing a sweater on his legs?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
With neck hole?
No, no.
Right.
But on a more serious note, can you imagine how Jennifer felt being informed of this if she had opened the door to the security?
Yeah, that's mad.
I mentioned earlier in this episode that safety and security was a priority for Jennifer. And part of the reason she had gone for this apartment complex was because it had an 8-foot perimeter fence and on-duty security at all times.
So he was clearly watching her, infatuated. And that's why, I'm guessing. This is absolutely wild.
Yeah.
With all the directions it's going in and...
Yeah.
Fuck. If I were Jennifer, I'd be like, "What? Can someone explain what actually happened?" I'd be like,
"Oh, you'd need a minute to get your fucking head around it."
Yeah. So the man who were knocking—that's a security guy. Yes. So I should have let him in. No. Why? Because he was the attacker, but he was attacked. No, that them injuries were from attacking you. I don't know. It's just fuck.
You're in way over your head here, aren't you, Neil?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, wasn't in over their head, was the police. They knew this was their guy and that they had to arrest him then and there. And they did so due to his outstanding traffic warrants. Now, this man was 26-year-old Brian Wayne Gibson.
Fucking hell.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrongin'. You know from that alone, don't you?
Yeah.
Brian was working the 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift that night, and he had been doing these shifts for about 3 months at this stage. When he was arrested, Brian had a large cut to his right hand and blood on his uniform. During questioning, Brian attempted to fabricate a story.
Go on.
His justification for his injuries was that he had been making his rounds when he witnessed a man leap from a second floor balcony, and he had been injured during a struggle to apprehend the attacker. But when police could smell the bullshit coming off of him, he decided to confess. Sergeant Glenn Matthews said, quote, "He was a hero, briefly."
I love when coppers, they'll just say this like snidey, yeah, sarcastic,
a little bit of humour
comment
in there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be quote of fucking century, that. Now, the obvious question. Brian was asked why he'd come back to the apartment. Because, you know, that's a fucking risky game to play.
Underwear.
He said that he didn't think Jennifer would recognise him. So, possibly like you said, coming to collect shit that he had dropped. Because he left a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know,
was it a glove, a knife? Was it his knife or her knife?
His knife, I believe.
Right.
He left the entire contents of his handbag there. more or less. Do you know what I mean? So I'm guessing, yes, he thought he would get away with going back saying, you know, I'm security, I'll help you. And then while he sat her down with a cup of tea, quickly clean up the scene or something.
So he would have probably got away with it if she didn't have a mobile.
Hadn't been for them damn meddling kids.
No, if she didn't have a phone.
Yes. She didn't
she'd
have
probably let him in.
I mean, literally didn't have a landline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was just so fucking lucky. See, employers, please take note. Like I said, supply your workers with mobile phones.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, Brian was charged with burglary and intent to commit a felony and was held on a $30,000 bond. The security firm Pinkerton, which Brian worked for, said that they were working with the Houston Police Department while conducting their own independent investigation. Although they would not disclose what their background check process was.
Fucking non-existent.
They did state that the company thoroughly screened all of their employees. But apparently, the screenings were said to have often took up to 6 months to complete, and obviously by then, the person is already working for the company.
Their problem. Shouldn't be working until it's done.
Oh, yeah, of course. And the other thing was, with Brian himself, he was reported to have worked for this company for 3 years, and in that time, he had been moved around and reassigned different shifts due to complaints about his behaviour. Now, I've got another sidebar here.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood this. This whole attitude of, this person is an issue, just move them around, or worst of all, assign them the night shift. Never.
Yeah.
Never, ever do that.
Yeah.
Especially when it's something to do with security or anything like that. That is the most idiotic shit I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. I'll tell you, right? You've got two kinds of night workers. You've got those who will work unsociable hours for the pay slash to be able to just get on with their job in peace. And then there's those who want to get away with doing some dodgy shit in peace.
Yes.
End of.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I don't like about what people say about night workers is when they get the reputation, but they're a weirdo because they're a night worker.
There are some weirdo night workers out there.
Oh no, yeah, there is. But there's some fucking weirdo day workers as well.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
We all have to start on the day shift. No, but you see what I'm saying? It's that 50-50 split. And unfortunately, a lot of the weird ones are because of lazy fucking management who just ship them off to the night shift.
Yeah.
You can't, like, I can't fucking deal with it. Do your job.
Yeah.
Sack them if they're no good. You can always find something on a person. If you're not going to sack them, let's say Brian hadn't done anything. I mean, there's multiple complaints against him. I'm sure exactly. They had enough. But let's say you haven't found anything solid enough to terminate their employment.
Mm.
You put them in a position where they are around others.
The more the merrier.
You do not put them on their own, particularly in a security position for an apartment complex.
Mm.
This is insane.
Could you imagine? This could have really gone wrong as well. You imagine, you know, when he was beating on the door.
Yeah.
Say if the operator, say if he went, right, ask him what his name and his social security number is. And then she asks him, he gives his real name and his social security number. She reverts it back to the operator and the operator's like, oh yeah, telling the truth, it's security. I've just looked him up, it's security.
That's the other thing as well, because Jennifer wouldn't have been able to identify him. She couldn't make him out. All she could see was a silhouette and the fact that he had short hair. That was it.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like you said, had she not had the mobile phone kindly supplied to her by her employer, I mean, this could have turned out very, very different.
Yeah.
Now, for his crimes, Brian was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 20 years in prison. He was released in 2015.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And he's just walking around, free as a bird.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
That's not on.
No. And that's with the 20, that's 20 years served. You know what I mean? He's done the sentence, you know?
No, that
yeah.
For an attack that brutal. Life or executed. You can't have that walking around on the street.
You can't be having Wayne's walking around.
No.
Never mind the Brian, but the Wayne.
Yeah.
So once Jennifer had fully recovered, she did move out of her apartment, understandably.
Mm.
She later filed a lawsuit against Pinkerton Security, which was settled in 1998 for an undisclosed amount. In that same year, Jennifer set up her own family law practice in Fort Worth, and she also began dating the man who she would later go on to marry and have two kids with.
Wouldn't it be great if it were the operator?
It would.
That would be a right ending.
But you look, 1998, big year for Jennifer.
Yeah.
She's making moves. She's getting things done. Sergeant Glenn Matthews, this was the He Was a Hero Briefly guy.
Yeah.
He said of Jennifer Morey, who now goes by Caldwell, quote, "She put up a real fight." And that's the thing about Jennifer. She did put up a good fight, but she also managed to maintain a certain level of awareness. We often talk about when a person is being confronted with an attack. Do you stand up and fight, or do you attempt to minimize the damage? And there's no right or wrong answer. You can never know until you're in that situation. But through all of the chaos, Jennifer managed to carefully balance between offense and defense. Now, you've just brought up Richard, the dispatcher.
Mm.
Jennifer and Richard Everett, the dispatcher, that's his full title.
Yeah.
They actually became good friends after this, Neil.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. I was also thinking if a Richard ever joins Patreon, I think we've already got a name picked out for him. The Dispatcher. In tribute to Richard Everett.
The Mortal.
The Mortal Dispatcher.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or Dick.
Jennifer said of Richard, quote, "Having instinct, intuition and a big heart, he saved my life. And for that, he will always be one of the most important people that's ever impacted my life."
Yeah, like if you're the new fella, you can't be jealous about that. You're not going to stand a fucking chance.
And I don't think her husband was jealous at all. In fact, I think he admired Richard.
Yeah.
You know, he...
Well, he wouldn't be with Jennifer. It'd have never met her if it weren't for Richard.
Well, he saved her life. And... You know, like she said, in that moment where she's still in that apartment in the midst of this, he was her friend. He was the one person she could trust. Like we were talking about, home invasions take away all your sense of safety and security. But in that moment, Richard could be that little bit of hope for her.
Yeah.
The
other way where she's really strong as well. Obviously, this is all speculation because, you know, it's never going to happen. But if I was a woman and I was attacked, especially something as brutal as that, I could never be with a man. I would never want to be in a room with a man alone.
I know what you're saying, like the severity of the situation. But I mean, I think if you're going to apply that, like, I mean, majority, if not all women, have had something negative happen to them by a man, you know, being touched or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not, again, like I said, not necessarily have they experienced something as severe as what Jennifer did. But I mean, if you just ask our listeners, I'm sure a huge amount of them could go, yep. And they have multiple instances of a guy touching them, groping, doing something they have no right to do. And I'm just talking about on the street or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you say that, I find it kind of, as a woman, I find it a funny thing for you to say.
Yeah.
I've had men do things they should not do to me. I'm still sat here with you. I
weren't one of them.
Neil, not everything is about you. Oh my God. That is exactly my point. I'm not saying that because there are a lot of terrible men out there.
Mm.
You know, right. This whole argument... When, you know, your men go, oh, not all men, all this shit. It's like, shut the fuck up. Sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down, right? Yeah. Women who say things like, I hate men, they don't hate men, right? They fucking love men who speak up for women, who are their fucking allies, who are going to call out other men. Love them more than anyone.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I can speak up against men.
Do
Elon
it then.
Musk. I don't like him.
You get the point I'm making, though.
Yeah.
Women, they still put their faith in men, even when men have done bad things to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but just to go back, I did say if I went through an attack like this.
No, but that's, I'm just saying, you could go through something lesser, but it's just repeated. That's a pattern you see in your day-to-day life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't write off all men.
Yeah, you lot are fucking strong. You really are. Because I, even something like, yeah, like you said, smaller things, but it's a repeated thing. Even something like that, I'd be like, fucking done. Like, can I find a normal fucking guy?
Yeah.
I don't think there is one. So that's it. Celibate. I'm going to a nunnerage.
The old nunnerage again.
Yeah. I'm fucking certain that's a word.
Yeah.
Nunnerage.
Anyway, you mentioned Jennifer and her husband and you hope he's not like jealous of Richard.
Yeah.
Well, I really don't think he is because when Jennifer did later marry, Richard attended the wedding and the pair actually did share a dance together. Isn't that lovely?
Oh.
Richard and Jennifer, I mean, not Richard.
Not the husband.
I wasn't there, Neil.
Yeah.
I just realised that was maybe a little bit unclear.
It could have been okie-cokie.
I was not there. Yeah. You know?
Could have been the what's it called? 1-2 slide. 1-2.
Cha-cha slide.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they could have been line dancing. It is Texas.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old line dancing. I've done that in Benidorm.
So before we go off on another tangent about you line dancing or you in Benidorm or you line dancing in Benidorm, that is the survival of Jennifer Maury Caldwell and her new bestie, Richard. He's a real bad bitch, Neil. I don't know what else to tell you.
I do have a bit of a concern, though, about Richard.
Shoot.
How did they get back in touch? That's a bit sus.
What do you mean? Did she do something dodgy to get his information or whatever?
Well, she can't get his details and she's moved and everything. So has he abused his fucking system to find her? That's a bit weird.
I don't know what exactly happened.
Probably through the investigation.
Possibly through the investigation or maybe Jennifer contacted them to say, can I pass a message on to this dispatcher? Tell him thank you, whatever. Here's my number. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming. I'm hoping nothing dodgy was done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Could you imagine, though, if Richard were the one who were to make the first move and be like, can I get your number so we can stay in touch? She'd be like, are you out of your fucking mind?
But you're very concerned about data protection. Do you know what I mean? That's why you're saying this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. Anyway, Neil, data protection concerns aside.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Well, I think I get it. Like I said, I apologize. What?
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 No, go on. Sorry.
Like, I apologized to the guy who gave her a lift. So he was obviously a good guy.
He was just trying to make sure she got home safe. As far as we know.
That security company wants shutting down.
Hmm.
I'm glad that she's, well, you're not going to get over it, but she's getting on with her life. You know, she set up
her own practice and all she did.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Vet or human?
No, she's a lawyer.
Oh.
Family law.
Oh.
Practice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. It's like the first sentence.
Yeah, but that were about an hour ago.
Yeah.
My fucking memory and what it used to be.
You remember?
Yeah. No, that's a horrific case. And there were just all these twists and turns. Like, if I weren't so sat far back, I'd have been on the edge of my seat.
If you weren't sat down at all, you would have fallen over.
Probably. Like, that one did keep me on the hook, like.
Did it?
Hmm. Like I said, amazing woman. I weren't trying to like criticize. Look, the hello thing were a bit.
No, that triggered you slightly. Yes.
Yeah. Like you're literally calling out to the attacker. That'd be the last thing I would do. Because you might as well go, "Ooh, I'm over here." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why you look at me sometimes?
No, because I don't want to go back to this, but I just don't understand why. Because what do you say or do in that moment?
You don't say shit. You feel your way around.
But if they're stood there, their eyes have adjusted a bit more than yours, you know? And they could they could be stood there. Like she said, are they quietly waiting for me?
Mm.
They have the upper hand regardless. She could have walked out of there and said, flim, flam, flibbity, bob. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't like... And if she said nothing, like I said, they're still waiting, having the upper hand, hearing the door, hearing her legs crawl across the carpet.
Hearing her breathe.
Hearing her breathe.
Well, struggling to breathe. Yeah. Okay, I'll let it go.
For now.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hayley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
So, oddity.
Bronze Age arts and crafts.
Okay.
So, you know the way the English are fucking savages?
What do you mean, like?
No, just fucking savages, like, just no good. Just
in all round.
Not like in the Irish way, like, that's fucking savage. Not like a positive.
Yeah.
You know, these are fucking savages, I mean.
Mm.
So, during the Bronze Age, people got creative with their use of human remains.
Okay.
There has been cases where disarticulated bones have been found in the foundations of homes or used to mark boundary lines, sometimes as decorations within their homes or other keepsakes. Quote, it's indicative of a broader mindset where the line between the living and the dead was more blurred than it is today. There wasn't a mindset that human remains go in the ground and you forget about them. They were always present among the living. So that's, you know, as kind of morbid as it sounds, that's kind of a nice way to look at it. You know, the kind of broader spectrum, a bit more open-minded, you know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? It's not life and death, they're dead, gone.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, as these items were important to them, they would at times be buried with the bones of others by their side.
Wait, do you know when you said about, like, the boundaries bit?
Yeah.
Right, I've automatically thought they're using bones to, like, signify if you cross over that you're in a cemetery. Am I wrong in that? Because you said between the living and the dead.
No, not literal, not a very literal meaning.
I thought they were using markers bones as like a fence.
Well, like a boundary line, but I don't literally mean between where the living are living and the deceased are located.
Right.
Very literal that, Neil. Like, outrageously so.
I thought they'd made like a picket fence out of fucking bones.
No, I don't think it was quite that level.
Right.
Maybe just like a femur bone or something stuck into the ground.
Like a flagpole.
This is my allotment.
Yeah.
Pat, you stay on your side and I'll stay on mine. Do you get what I'm saying?
Right, okay.
Quote, radiocarbon dating of curated bones suggests that Bronze Age people's sense of identity and belonging was based on their links to known kin who had died in the past few decades, rather than to distant and anonymous ancestor. So again, that's nice. It's kind of their chosen family. It's not that they're hung up on this is my line.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Who was important to me?
I'm trying to think where I would put one.
Yeah, I thought you looked a bit like you were drifting there. Well, I'm going to tell you another use they had for them, but would you like to, you know, throw your hat in the ring here? Well, what would you see a fit purpose for the human bones?
Well, where I park my car, you know, it's a free-for-all car park, but there's a certain spot I like parking in, so I'd probably mark that with a bone or two.
So boundary lines again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So not really anything new. You're just thinking, you personally, I thought you were going to come up with another like arts and crafts idea. Thought you were going to add to the conversation.
Well, one thing I have always thought of doing, well, not doing because I can't do that, a clock, and you've actually got a hand going around, like an arm.
But there you go.
Going around. And maybe you could have it so it's the middle finger.
Yes.
Up and all the other fingers are down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going around.
Right. Quite advanced compared to just having like a decoration on the wall though. Talking about clocks, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you want to like manually do it, we just have the two hands in just like every hour or whatever, or half hour, you shift it yourself kind of thing.
Yeah. Or maybe like...
slightly more primitive clock.
Or maybe a skull, and you could have it to use as like a bowl.
A bowl?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, whether you could put sweets in it or...
yeah.
Cereal. Do a cereal bowl.
Some Werther's just to have on the table.
Why Werther's?
Why not Werther's?
Because Werther's like are Werther's. For old blokes.
I like Werther's.
What?
I like Werther's.
I like Werther's.
Am I an old man?
No, but it's known as being like the old pervert fucking sweet.
Maybe I'm an old pervert.
Like, here, don't, here kids, do you want a word?
Don't pigeonhole me. Now, like I said, they did also use the human bones for other arts and crafts, other creative endeavors.
Yeah.
It turns out they also used human bones to turn into musical instruments.
Fuck off.
Near to Stonehenge, buried with an adult male, was a thigh bone which had been highly polished and carved out to fashion a whistle.
No. I thought you meant like drumsticks.
No.
A flute.
A whistle, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a very long fucking whistle.
It's
a whistle. Flute.
It's a whistle.
No, it's a flute.
It's a
long,
whistle.
Megan?
Neil?
A long... object like a whistle is a flute.
Or it's a whistle.
Or a recorder.
Don't talk to me about recorders.
Yeah.
The trauma. The PTSD.
Yeah. Three blind mice and all that.
So radiocarbon dating showed that the bone belonged to someone who would have lived during the same time as this man who was buried with it. And as it was buried with him, it's believed that the thigh bone whistle came from someone he would have known or was, quote, fairly close to. Again, you know, it was about kind of the connection. It wasn't just kind of like a morbid craft that they were doing. It meant something to them. It was a way of keeping that person close to them in some fashion.
Who were you putting your gob around it? It's a bit grim.
No, it is a bit grim. But again, this was kind of the whole point is that, you know, from what we can make out in the Bronze Age, we weren't so rigid in our views of life and death. It kind of crossed over a little bit more. And again, although it's kind of shocking to us to hear that, it's kind of a nicer way to look at it.
So
you know?
You're defending them now, but at the start you were like, you know how Brits are brutes.
Well, it was savages, please, Neil, come on. No, but you know, any chance to get a dig in at the Brits, just for the crack.
Yeah, okay.
For the bants.
We do make it easy for people.
You really fucking do. You need to step it up a bit.
Yeah.
So, like I said, due to radiocarbon dating, they were able to tell that these people had lived around the same time and that they would have known each other or been fairly close to each other. Mm. It was more of a nice thing, more than likely,
yeah,
than something kind of whatever. But just how fucking funny would it have been? What if he just really fucking hated this person and their family and this was his final fuck you? I'm going to the afterlife and I'm taking my thigh whistle bone with me.
Yeah, because I was thinking it could have been a neighbour who we'd had a dispute with and he was like, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use your leg as a whistle.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So let's hope it's the nicer version of events and he deeply loved and cared for this person. And, you know, it was, again, it was taking quite literally a piece of them with him. But imagine it was Pat next door at the other side of the allotment. Yeah. And it's like, fuck you, Pat.
Yeah.
I've got your leg whistle.
So I've got a question for you then.
Mm-hmm.
What part of my body would you use as a musical instrument, and what instrument?
You got quite big ribs. So ribs as a, what's it called? Xylophone?
Maraca. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Xylophone, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Locking that in now.
Okay.
What about me?
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it, you twisted fuck. Is that what you're getting at? Was it just set up to, if I had a quick answer, you'd be like, wow, you've thought about this. That's twisted.
No.
Oh.
I just wouldn't.
It's not for you. You're just going to stick with the, you know, skinning me after death and taking my moles.
I'm not putting a bone in my mouth.
But you'll hang my skin on the wall.
Oh, only a little bit.
Yeah, just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Quote, it's likely you have a whole ceremonial smorgasbord of what you can do with human remains, and we just see glimpses of the various ways in which they were used. Human remains always have some intrinsic power. Perhaps they brought some comfort. I tell you what, Neil, I think we could learn something from the Bronze Age people.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, if not the kind of nicer side of it, you know, the kind of memoriam thing of it.
Yeah.
If nothing else, reduce, reuse, recycle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, right, so this fucking dating agency or whatever, what did you say it was?
Radiocarbon dating.
Yeah, them. So they're looking at this and they're like, oh, isn't that sweet? But if someone did it now, they'd fucking be like, weirdo.
Well, no, because there's laws and shit in place, so you can't just go around doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But we've set those, I mean, again, a lot of the Brits who kind of made things a little bit more rigid.
Yeah.
In a lot of places.
Yeah.
But we won't get into that today.
Okay.
But do you get what I'm saying? If things were, like, do you remember when we covered the case of, I believe his name was Dwayne Johnson. Do you remember?
Yes.
He threw the death party for his partner? And yeah. I was kind of trying to say, I think what he did was nice.
Yeah.
Loved her, he was caring for her, and you were very much on that page.
Mm.
But that didn't mean he didn't still have a duty of care to her in the eyes of the law, and it was an issue because of that.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
There are laws in place, whether you agree or not, they're there, so we can't do it now.
Yeah. Even if we wanted to.
But they didn't have the laws in place, and it was their way of paying respect, remembering these people, keeping them, like I said, quite literally a piece of them with them.
I think it's disrespectful.
Yeah. Not for you.
Oh, absolutely not.
Apart from the mole on the wall.
On the mole on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard we have ourselves a great movie.
Audiences are going loony for Coyote versus Acme.
Couldn't agree more.
And critics are calling it a wildly entertaining movie.
I'm here for the Annie and any pantsless modeling gig.
Ingenious.
Exactly.
Chaotic comedy fun.
Exactly.
A family-friendly blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
And pure movie magic.
Pretty flattering. Think things like this make us look pretty good in the public eye.
Beep, beep.
Coyote versus Acme. In theaters August 28th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater,
the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price, void in Florida.